You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
In case the new ones of you may not know Mr. Leland, I can tell you that's a man that loves you like Jesus loves you. He wants to see you go to heaven, and we all do. This song kind of talks about that. It says, when I said I was saved, I didn't say I was perfect. Though His tender love is no license to sin, He's leading me on, and I know I can make it. I'm not where I'm going. Thank God I'm not where I've been. You can get down on me, but don't get down on Jesus. You can call in my phone if my light gets dim. His word is still true, and His grace is sufficient. So if I stumble, don't blame it on Him. Still a great mystery, but like the thief on the cross, there's no way I can lose. In His arms of love, He knows how to hold me, because He came from above to walk a mile in my shoes. So you can get down on me, but don't get down on Jesus. He's my friend. Just call it my phone if my light gets dim. His word is so true, His grace is sufficient, 'cause He came from above, He walked a mile in my shoes. So you can get down on me, you can't get down on Jesus. You can call it my phone if my poor light gets dim. His word is still true, His grace is sufficient. So if I stumble, don't blame it on Him. So if I stumble, don't blame my poor Lord. He is good.
Okay. Charles gets fired up leading y'all in singing. He has to put a fan up here to keep him cooled off. And sometimes he nearly freezes me out when he forgets to turn that thing off. Man alive. So I want to make sure. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Mark, second book in the New Testament. And if you would like to do that, but you don't have a Bible, if you'd like to have a Bible, if you'll lift your hand, we'll see that you get one. Just keep them up till you get one. We've got guys coming. Now, let me say this. If you do not have a Bible, then, and would like one, let this be our gift to you. This is the Rec Room's gift to you. We still have, you got any more? We've got one more down here. Two more. Are we out? We use them all good. Yeah, Johnny gave you his. He's got it all memorized. Yeah. Thank you, Johnny. All right. We want you to have a Bible. So that'll just be our gift to you, except Johnny's. That won't be. Now, that doesn't work with him. He needs his Bible back. He's got him one of them. Johnny's gone electronic on me. Yeah, he's. But you get these people that are on cutting edge. Yeah, leading edge, all this technology. I didn't find out till last week what WWW meant. I thought it was World Wrestling Federation. I didn't know it meant the World Wide Web. Anyhow, Book of Mark. We're going to start reading in just in verse 1. We're going to read quite a few verses here. This also occurs in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. But we're taking Mark just because it's not separated. The explanation is not as far separated as it is in Matthew. Telling the same thing. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, recorded some of the same things. Maybe from a different angle. All of them talked about the feeding of the 5,000. But, and then on one hand, one of them would only speak of something that happened. But he's talking about Christ, said he began again to teach by the seaside. And there gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into the ship, set in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. Let me stop right just a minute. Jesus Christ, the only one ever taught in parables. Paul didn't. Peter didn't. Luke didn't. Oh, I'm sorry. Luke, Mark chapter 4. I guess that would create a problem, then. Well, the reason I do that sometimes, you just start anywhere. It's all good. Mark chapter 4. Okay. But he said he taught them in parables. I used to think that parables were like illustrations. You'll see in these parables, and this is the first parables that he taught, you'll see that they're right the opposite. Parables were not to reveal a truth. Parables were to hide a truth. And Jesus would use them. He's the only one that used them to see that those that were hearing, if they were paying attention. And sometimes the people would come and it just happened with the disciples some. We'll see this. They said, and they will ask him about these parables, and he will explain them to them. And some of you old enough that you listened to Paul Harvey a lot and the rest of the story, the explanation of parables is the rest of the story many times. But so he spoke to them in parables, verse 2, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, It was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. They want to know what it means. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Then he begins to explain it. Verse 14, The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, notice two or three things before we start talking about this. That seed is always the word of God. That's what seed. Money is not seed. I hear TV preachers saying, well, you need to put seed money. It's never in the Bible. That's not Bible. Bible, it's the Word of God. What you and I need to sow is the Word of God. Because He said His Word will not return void. I'm talking to you till I'm blue in the face, and my Word will be a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It won't get you anything, but when God's Holy Ghost begins to anoint the Word, then people pay attention. They're going to hear. They're going to get the message. Second thing I want you to notice in this, and by the way, since I've got two pastors here, I realize that I'm going to make an application with this tonight. This is not the interpretation that I'm going to make, but the application of it. And I'm going to ask you, what kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? But notice that the word fell. It wasn't sowed there. It fell there. Now, you're familiar of the way people used to plant before we had tractors and planters and all of that. And the sower would go out and they would dig their rows and then they'd go out with the seed, reach in and they'd cast the seed out there. Try to put it in the rows. But when you come to the end of the row, either end, some is going to get over here on the hard ground. Some is going to get over here on the uncultivated ground. Some is going to get over here where the weeds are. That's just going to happen. So he's not sowing there. It's falling there. And notice that the sower is not identified. Because it doesn't make any difference. What's identified is what's being sowed. The seed. That's what's important. It's the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference who's talking about it. See? So many times we pay attention only to a certain person. If he's giving you the Word of God, then it's the Word of God and you pay attention to it. And if he's not, you don't pay any attention to it. And nobody in here has ever beat up the mailman because he brought bad news.
That's right.
See? And you didn't get together and sit around with your friends and say, I've got the sorest mailman telling you he keeps bringing me a bunch of junk mail and he keeps doing this and he keeps doing that. What is it they say? Don't kill the messenger. He's just the messenger. We're just bringing the message. So the sower is unimportant in this parable that we're talking about. What's important is the seed and where that seed is going to fall. And he gives us four places with it. In verse 4, we read by the wayside. In verse 15, it explains that to us. He said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was in their hearts. Remember the question, what kind of ground are you? And we've got people that have allowed Satan to be a part of their life. We got into Wicca. Hey, we got into some cult. We got into some kind of devil worship. And it was better when we used drugs with it. We've been there. We've allowed Satan's demons to use alcohol and drugs on us and put us in a situation. In fact, every one of you in here tonight, and I don't care who you are, everybody in here, but I'm always hearing about hypocrites. Get started hearing about hypocrites. But everybody in here is a hypocrite. Everybody in here has done something you said you'd never do. You've done it. Yeah. You don't want anybody else to know about it, and you might lie to me about it, but we've all done it. Done it. We've done things. So, boy, I'll never do that. Right. Yeah. We've got people that are into it. Today, we're living in a time when there is more of the people that are anti-Christ and anti-Bible than we've ever had. It is getting where in other parts of the nation, to even mention the Bible, to give a student a Bible, can cost you your job. Now, we live in redneck Odessa, and one good thing about redneck, hard-drinking, fist-fighting Odessa is the fact that we still got some Christian people. And now, we got a bunch of non-Christians, but you know what? They'll still let you be a Christian. They still have enough freedom in them that if you want to be a Christian, go ahead and be a Christian. We're not going to fight you for it. We don't have that on the East Coast, West Coast, and up north. We're sitting in what's called the Bible Belt, and you can be thankful for that. Because in those places, they're telling you what you can believe and can't believe. And if you think it's bad there, go to some other nations where religion rules the nation. And we've got nations in this world like that. Tonight, you've got the freedom to believe what you want to believe. And if you don't want to believe a word I say, nobody is going to corner you for it. You won't be held up. You won't be thrown in jail. You won't be pushed around. You won't be mocked. You can believe what you want to be, and you've got that right to be the type of ground, whatever you want to be. The next was a stony ground. And the explanation of that was in 16:17. He said, these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You see people anymore. Folks, years ago, when somebody got saved, man, and I say years ago, I think they still do. But I see a lot of people just waltzing down the aisles in churches. I see, and as I read about things going on in our town and our state and in our nation, folks are just kind of, oh, yes, uh-huh, isn't that nice? That's good. Notice here it said they received it with gladness, but it won't work. See, man, I can remember. I played ball with a guy, and I've told this story before to some of you, but a bunch of you are new tonight. I'm going to tell it again. Old people have got a right to repeat themselves.
Amen.
But I played ball with a guy. He came out of Southern California. He was all Navy. Our coach got him a hardship discharge if he would play ball with us. And he did. And his name was... His nickname was Louis the Rat. His name was Louis Holt. But his nickname was Louis the Rat. He's the first guy I'd ever seen in DuckTales. Now, this is 60 years ago, people. He comes into this little country college, and we're all just rednecks. And here he comes. He got them, and his hair has got more grease on it. I think he's using 20 white. But this was Louis the Rat. And Louis the Rat, he brought an old girl with him. Well, she was shiny, I'm telling you. She stayed about 3 days and left Louis the Rat. But Louis the Rat was a challenge. But one night, we were over to a little old church. Wasn't as big as this one. And some of us said they were having revival. And three or four of us that played ball met in one of the back Sunday school rooms and just had a word of prayer. And I looked up, and there was Luther. Somebody had invited him to church, and he'd taken them up on it. And I never will forget. And I can't tell you what this preacher preached on. I just know he's no hellfire, rip-snorting preacher. But I heard a commotion in the back. And I heard a guy holler and say, "I'm lost. I'm lost." And I look back down the aisle, and here comes Louis the Rat on his all fours, crawling down the aisle. Louis the Rat got saved, and let me tell you, he got a dose of it, baby. Yeah. But he said, I've done everything in the world. I'm sorry. Let me tell you, when you see how big a sinner you are, you're not going to receive it with gladness. You're going to say, "Oh, my. What? How wretched am I?" Paul said that about himself after he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." If you're God's child, you look at yourself. You never finish a day when you say, "Hey, Lord, did you catch my act today? Wasn't I good?" You got to say, "Lord, I messed it up again today." They had no depth, no repentance, no conviction of sins. And when the problem comes, they say, "I quit. As far as I go, I quit." Now, then notice the next one is the thorns. 18 and 19, he said, "And these are they which are sown among the thorn, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Leila and I are too busy. Got to make a living. I got other things to do. One more party. One more high. One more deal. And nearly everybody that I've ever met, including myself, always figured that later on we'd get saved. You realize the sower may not come your way again? Hey, it's the sower that's got the word. And do you realize that it just fell there? You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't say, "Hey, over here." It fell there. And we always got something else to do. The deceitfulness of riches. This past weekend, we had our Loops board meeting, and one of our board members, where I met him was in the Big Spring Federal Prison, and he had a roommate at the prison. They were both from the Dallas area. We discussed his roommate again this week. He's always been a subject of conversation because Bill, his roommate, won the lottery after he got out of prison. Won the Texas lottery. I don't know how much he won. CE couldn't remember. All CE said he gets about $150,000 a year. Now, I don't know about you, but if I started cutting back and I really watched it, I could live on $150,000 a year. You think you could, Brother Doug, I don't know if you could or not. You live pretty high. I know, yeah. Jolene, I know you could. $150,000 a year. He got that for 20 years. It's over now. It's been 20 years since he won the lottery. The first year, Bill has to get, in November, he's got to get a co-signer at the bank to borrow money to finish out. He gets his check in January. He can't make it to January. The second year, his utilities are cut off in December. The third year, he goes back to work. Bill's profession was he built swimming pools in the East Dallas area, from East Dallas to Forney. And he had a good living with that. But you know what Bill did? And by the way, if Bill and his wife walked in here, you'd know they didn't spend a dime of it on clothes. Old Bill's about as slouchy as anybody I've ever seen. Neither one of them drank or drugged, so they didn't spend it on that. They did not buy a new vehicle. They bought a newer one, but they didn't buy a new one. They did not buy a new home. But Bill invested in every get-rich-quick plan but Amway. And Bill spent all his money because he'd got rich quick. Playing, he was kind of a computer guru. He's playing those numbers. He'd hit a couple of times, $5,000 one time, $6,000 one time, and then he hit the big deal. And for 20 years, Bill got $150,000, and Bill is broke today. All of these things that we're going to do, not going to make you happy, baby. The deceitfulness of riches. Man, if I just had that, I'd be happy. If I had that, I'd be happy. Now, I know most of us say, I don't want money. You just want what it'll buy. I know. See? If we could get it without the money, that'd be great. But keep in mind, the sower may not come your way again. Keep in mind that before this night's over with, death might come. You're looking at a man that's buried two of his children. Buried my youngest one, buried my oldest one. And you never know. Then there's the good ground. There's the good ground. And the explanation of that in verse 20 is this: and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. Did you listen? And receive it. There's one thing to hear it. There's another thing to receive it. Some of you here say, I don't believe that. And I think that's wrong. I'm not going to pay attention to that. I don't receive it. And then it says they brought forth fruit, some 30 fold, 60, and some 100. Everybody's not the same, but they brought forth fruit, whatever the fruit might be. You bring some fruit. Are you fruit bearing? What kind of ground are you? Now let me say this, just for this, for us tonight. I know that in every Thursday night, that some come just to get out of Clover House or wherever. Some guys come to see the girls. Some girls come to see the guys. Some come for the fellowship and refreshments. Some come because it counts as AA meeting. And some come because they're tired of being a loser.
Amen. Come on, yeah.
Some come because they're hunting for something to fill that void. I've tried this and I've tried that and I'm empty. I'm empty. Some have been honest enough with yourself to say, I'm a loser. And every time, sometimes I say that, somebody thought, don't tell me I'm not a loser. Well, you a winner. Yeah, you product of the state, that makes you a winner. You owned, but makes you a winner. I spent a lot of years. I drank a lot of scotch trying to forget I was a loser. And I guess what hurts is I see people doing the same thing. Some do it with drugs, some do it with alcohol, some do it with sex, some do it with fame and fortune, whatever the case may be. But I see that, and I'm not blaming you. I did it. I just hope that you don't waste the seed that's fallen on you. I just hope that you say, I'm tired of this. Lord Jesus, if you can help me. I've tried a lot of different things. I've tried a lot of thrills. I will try you. If you can help me. I want what the Bible says you will give me. I want that peace and that joy and that happiness that goes all the way to the bottom. Not that stuff that tomorrow night we got to do it again. I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes. And think just within yourself a moment. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And when you do that, you have just stepped into a realm where God will give you supernatural power to live the rest of your life. He will give you His Holy Spirit, that wherever you go, He will go. He will never leave you. And when this life comes to an end, He will walk with you into heaven's gates for all eternity. You're here tonight. You say, Leland, I'm tired. I'm hurting. I want that peace you're talking about. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I see your hands, sir, and yours, and yours, and yours. See yours, son. Yeah, put them up, slip them back down. When you've, anyone else, real quickly before we pray. Yes, I see yours. Anyone else? Now listen to me carefully. Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for mine and your sins, and we got them. But He took them all away. And tonight, He will save you this very night if you will ask Him to and mean business with Him. Ask Him from your heart. He's never conned anybody. That's not His business. He came so that you and I might get to heaven. That's why He came. He didn't come to start a church. Didn't come to start a Bible school. Didn't come to write a Bible. He came. The Son of Man came seeking to save that which is lost. And that's us. I'm going to pray. You think while I pray. Our Father, You know the hearts of each hand that went up. You also know the hearts of the hands that didn't go up. Father, in these next few minutes, we pray that You will save the lost. Those that are here tonight, that not one person would leave this building lost tonight, that they'd be saved this very night. We ask You for that. And we know You want that more than we do. So help them make that decision for You this very night. Will you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed? And on the very first verse, I want you to come and say, I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior tonight. I'm turning it over to Him. Would you come? It's all saints.
Softly and tenderly.
Softly and tenderly. Come on, right now. You lift your hand, you mean business. Come on. Come on now.
Calling for you and for me.
Come on now.
See on the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home.
Come on. Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Our heads still bowed and eyes closed. There are people that are praying. Have you done what God wanted you to do? Now let me tell you this. I'm not going to beg you to come. They don't have to beg you to stay. But I'll tell you, you'll never go wrong with Jesus Christ. I'm an old man, but the only regret I got is the years I did not follow Him. Those only regrets. I've never regretted 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day of what Christ can do in my life. Charles is going to sing one more verse. Will you come on this verse?
Oh, for the love He has promised to you and to me. Though we have sinned, His mercy and pardon for you and for me.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for those that came tonight. And Father, I pray that those that should have and didn't.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.